It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Governor Pat Quinn's spokeswoman says the governor will proceed with plans for a health insurance exchange no matter who wins tomorrow's presidential election. The exchange is a cornerstone of President Barack Obama's signature health care law. Five companies are bidding to design a website where Illinois consumers would comparison shop for health insurance. As of about 11:30 this morning, the Champaign County Clerk's Office had received 18,892 early and absentee ballots. County Clerk Gordy Holton is predicting by the time the official tally is made in a couple of weeks, about 20% of all votes cast will have come in before Election Day. Holton says it's his goal to increase opportunities for early voting in the next election should he be elected for a full term as Champaign County Clerk. He says it's clear that voters appreciate the flexibility that early voting provides.
And it is simply another way for a voter to exercise a choice. In all voters, when they vote, they get to exercise choices in you know, what selections they make on their ballot. Early voting gives them the additional choice of the time and the location of casting their ballot.
Holton says early voting is up across Illinois, but he credits the sharp increase in Champaign County to his opening 8 early voting locations around the county for this election. That's up from just 1 early voting location 4 years ago. Holton is running against Democrat Charlie Smythe in tomorrow's election. Smythe has pledged to establish more convenient early voting locations and also make it easier for voters to cast same-day ballots during the voter registration grace period in the week before the election. Lines at early polling places stretched out the door and down the block in some Indiana cities this morning as voters scrambled to meet an early voting deadline. Early voting across the state of Indiana ended at noon. Early turnout was down compared to the 2008 election. The Indiana Secretary of State's office reports more than 460,000 people had voted across the state as of Friday. That's compared to 516,000 in 2008. Political action committees report spending about $100,000 in the past week on automated phone calls in just 3 Illinois congressional races. Super PACs aligned with Republicans in the 8th, 10th, and 11th congressional districts spent most of that money. All of those districts are in the Chicago area. Libertarian Andrew Horning could draw enough votes to sway the outcome of Indiana's hotly contested U.S. Senate race between Republican Richard Murdoch and Democrat Joe Donnelly. Horning might not be as recognizable as Libertarian gubernatorial candidate Rupert Bonham of Survivor television fame, but a Howie DePaw Indiana battleground poll released last week found Horning garnering 6% support in the Senate race. The initial paperwork has started to eliminate some doctoral programs at the University of Illinois' Urbana campus, but U of I trustees will not be voting to cut any of them this week. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert reports.
Graduate College Dean Deba Dutta says the process of evaluating all 98 graduate programs goes back nearly 2 years. Instead of relying on national rankings, a faculty panel used its own criteria. Faculty and doctoral programs have written letters with their own evaluations, while students have filled out confidential surveys. Dutta calls the assessments instruments for positive change.
They provide a framework within which we look at the program, we look at existing practices, we look at how the field is changing, and we understand what changes we need to make in order to be effective, in order to be the top-notch program that we are.
Dutta says the process for shuttering a doctoral program begins with the program itself, then its college on campus, the graduate college, U of I Academic Senate, and then to the U of I's Board of Trustees. Trustees will hear initial presentations from the provost on what could be cut when meeting in Springfield this week. As for the future, Dutta says all doctoral programs will be reviewed on a 4-year cycle, looking at 20 to 25 a year. He says that will provide more time to revisit the assessment process. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
A link detailing the process by which doctoral programs are evaluated is on our website, will.illinois.edu. Days before University of Illinois trustees will vote on a proposed solar farm on the south end of the Urbana campus, planners are defending the location. Morgan Johnston, the sustainability coordinator for U of I Facilities and Services, says the plan will achieve a goal of 2% of the university's renewable energy generation under its climate action plan. In the planning since summer 2011, Johnston says the solar farm proposal has been set up as a $15.5 million power purchase agreement. The intent is meeting the goal of having 5% renewable energy on campus by the year 2015. Johnston says planners settled on the proposed 20.5-acre site just to the south of Windsor Road between 1st and Neal Streets, which proved ideal.
It needed to be on campus as part of our generation here. The other component of that is that when we ask for the Student Sustainability Committee to allocate some of their funds, they are very interested in getting it as close to the heart of campus as possible, where students can see it.
Critics of the plant's location include members of the U of I Sustainability Committee, who oppose using green spaces for solar projects, suggesting instead the U of I use existing structures or parking lots. Johnston says funding the solar farm includes paying the rate per kilowatt hour over the site's initial 10 years. Then the U of I will finance the project for another 10 years through a student sustainability fee. Trustees will take up the solar farm proposal at their meeting in Springfield on Thursday. The Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles has agreed to stop requiring drivers chosen at random from a state registry prove they are insured. BMV spokesman Dennis Rosebro says today the agency has agreed to stay in a lawsuit filed by a woman whose license was suspended for not having insurance, even though she didn't own a car. Rosebro says state law requires the agency to check at random to ensure that drivers suspended for lack of insurance have since obtained coverage. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana said the BMV's actions violated due process as guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. A judge granted a preliminary injunction against the agency in August. Rosebro says drivers still must prove they have insurance if they are in an accident. And finally, a 31-year-old amputee has made history becoming the first person to climb 103 floors of one of the world's tallest skyscrapers with a bionic leg. Zach Vauder was wearing a prosthetic leg controlled by his mind yesterday when he participated in Skyrise Chicago. The charity event raises funds for the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. The event marked the bionic leg's first test in the public eye. As Vauder thought about climbing stairs, the motors, chains, and belts in his leg synchronized the movements of its ankle and knee. Researchers cheered him on and noted the smart leg's performance. Institute officials say the leg and its climber held up fantastically. Vauder finished the climb in about 45 minutes. You can find more news at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.